This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
People want realness. They don't want perfection on social media. Like, it's crazy how many people come and say, "You just seem so realistic."
Hey, everyone. It is Julia Lachey here on the Color of Money podcast, and I've got a special treat for you today. You all are in for a treat with not just Bo McKinney, he's my co-host today, but we have my girl, my big little sister, Gabby Davis, is joining us today. And if you don't know who Gabby Davis is, Instagram it, okay, Google it, AI it, all of those things. Gabby is operating principal, if you remember from our conversations. Operating principal is basically franchise owner of a Keller Williams franchise. She is the operating principal of Keller Williams West Atlanta. Now, I'm going to stop there because you would think like, oh, okay, yeah, of course, a market center in Atlanta, you know, a franchise in Atlanta. But she's the first Black and youngest operator at a Keller Williams franchise in the entire Southeast. She was the first Black OP in Atlanta, which sounds crazy that it only just happened a few years ago, but it did. She launched an entirely new, what we call market centers or franchise for those of you listening, and just started with a small group of people. And in just a few years, under her leadership, she now has over 400 agents in only 2 years. Do you hear? I said a few, but it was only two. In only 2 years, 400 agents. Friends, that is unheard of. She's achieved profitability in 3 months. Unheard of. Became the fastest growing Keller Williams franchise in the entire world in 2024. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you about this girl, Gabby? Okay. She is a visionary leader. She's a coach. She's a wealth builder. And what's best about it is she really has this heart and a mission for the people to really help her agents reach their goals and their dreams, and certainly is on a mission to help everybody build generational wealth. I'm going to keep going. I got more to say about Gabby. She was featured in KW and Inman's 2025 Top 40 Leaders Under 40 for her story, Creating Opportunity and Wealth in Atlanta. She continues to inspire people, including me, especially me, through her people-first approach that blends faith, culture, and innovation. Y'all, she has a call early in the morning, too early for me, where her grandmama gets on and does a Bible lesson and prays for everybody. It's too early for me, but I'll listen to the recording. But she's a powerhouse. She really cares about her people. Before she was in real estate, she spent almost a decade. You had been like 12 when you started doing the business-to-business sales, helping companies use technology and drive growth. But today, friends, she is an amazing operating principal. She's a mentor. She's a national leader. She knows a lot about technology and social media and all those things. And she's my friend, y'all. This is all of that. I introduce to you Gabby Davis.
Hello, hello, hello. It's such an honor to be here with you and Bo. I look up to you all so much. And it's so amazing to have leaders and operators who look like me that I can know and learn so much from. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for that amazing introduction, Julia. You gave me, I'm over here blushing a little bit, to be honest with you.
I'm excited to have you here today. Aren't you, Bo?
Yeah, this is amazing. It's such a well-deserved introduction. I'd love to hear just a little bit about your leadership path that led you to becoming an OP. Like, how did you end up in this position? And then we got to figure out some of this special sauce of how you made it just take off. But first, like, what brought you? Like, why how'd you end up in a leadership position in residential real estate?
So I think to understand that, you have to understand my path prior to real estate in general. So when I was 18, inner city Atlanta student, my sister worked at T-Mobile And one day their president had come in town, and I used to like stand at her, they had a little kiosk booth. I would stand at her kiosk booth and I would help her sell, because she would drive me wherever I wanted to go as long as I could give her gas money and I didn't have a job. So I was like, I'm gonna stand around. And they were like, your sister is kind of good at this. And mainly they would hire people around 23, 24 years old at the time. And they were like, we want to give her a job. They ended up giving me a job at Lenox Square Mall to be a sales associate at the time. Well, by the time I was 19, I was like the top sales associate in the company. And we're talking about a Fortune 500 company, you know, and we had this crazy leader come in. His name was John Ledger, and he was out of New York. And we were a very corporate company, so we wore the collared shirts every day. He came in on Twitter and was, you know, connecting with all the agents, connecting with all the customers. And our previous CEO was like, you cannot be on social media. And then we get this new CEO who's like, you can be on social media. It's a way to connect to people. Show me you in your T-Mobile gear. Matter of fact, take off the collared shirts. I want you guys to wear our brand everywhere you go. I want you to have on T-shirts that show different brands. I want you to tell me if you like the T-shirts. I want you to tell me if you're having issues. And he took a very unique people first approach on social media that I had never seen a leader do. It went against everything I was taught at 18. So by the time I was 19, they promoted me to a sales manager. And my average employee was like 35 to 40 years old. And I was their youngest sales manager. So they put me in John Maxwell. They put me in programs similar to career visioning. They put me in any type of thing, executive maturity classes, to help me grow and develop as a leader. Then my stores started becoming top stores. So now we're developing and growing. And I ended up moving into B2B. And business to business, our corporate office for business to business at T-Mobile was right across from Keller Williams corporate office for the Southeast region. And I saw their sign and I was like, you know, I think I'm really good at this sales leadership thing. If I'm making all of these people money, I probably can make good money myself doing something, right. You know, yeah. As an entrepreneur, yeah. Like I'm making them a lot of money. And so I went on to get my license and, I was in Sandy Springs, but I'm a girl from Southwest Atlanta. The average income of my high school at the time was $14,500. Wow. I went and joined the largest KW franchise office in Sandy Springs. And the average price point at that time was probably around $350,000. The average price point where I was from was probably about $50,000. I went and joined that office and Mike Ray was my team leader at the time. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to be the number one agent in here. And they had never seen anybody look like me. And this was an office of about 600 people. And they were like, okay, she's a little, you know, rambunctious. We will see. And I'm like, I'm going to be your number one agent. And by year three, I was the number one agent in that office of almost 600 people. And the average price point was way, you know, outside of the people I serviced. And I went on from there. I ended up leaving because I was tech first and I didn't feel like the company at the time was tech first or connecting with people via social media. And that's how I was raised at my previous career. And I left. And when I had the opportunity to come back as a leader into ownership, I knew. I said, when I do guerrilla warfare, and guerrilla warfare, for those who are listening, that's our program as operators that we do to research all the other companies and what they're doing. And what I realized is a lot of people do guerrilla warfare, but we're so Kellerized. We don't really listen to what works really well at the other companies. And because I spent 3 years at another competitor, I was able to really listen and see what worked well there. And it was, guess what? The same thing that worked at the Fortune 500 company that I worked for prior to. It was connecting with people via marketing and social media. And so I said, when I start my franchise, I know we're going to grow quickly because we have the missing link. I understand how to connect with agents via social media and marketing.
Well, I'm going to just maybe even switch gears a little bit because I'm trying to jump straight into the juice of the things. Obviously, you were well-skilled, you know, to become the operating partner. But oftentimes when we start a new business, I like to think that it starts with, you know, purpose and vision. When you started this KW West Atlanta, what was the vision that you had for this? Did you see it being 400 agents in 2 years? What did you see when you first started that?
So when we talk about vision, my why, so my granddad was president of the NAACP in Atlanta for 20 years. So growing up, I only saw like wealthy, prominent Black people, honestly. Like, I mean, most of my friends are doctors, attorneys, lawyers, all of the people I grew up getting my hair done, my OBGYN, they looked like me and they were Black professionals. And what happened is I went to college. I went to college in Atlanta as well. Of course, I'm an Atlanta born and raised. Don't leave outside of Atlanta. I realized a lot of Black people don't have that same experience. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that mm-hmm. because I grew up in my bubble. I thought, mm-hmm. and even as Black people, I realized a lot of Black people don't see ourselves the way I saw my community. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, why do you look at yourself that way? It's so many of us who are smart. It's so many doctors. And so my goal was to let people see real estate agents for who we were, who we are, and see us in a prominent way and see us in a good way. Like, don't talk down on our people. Let's uplift our people. Let's talk to our people about finances. Like, every Monday, we get our top producers on a call and we go through our P&L statements together as a group. I don't care how embarrassing it is. Let's talk through it so we can build upon it together. And so from there, they were like, we've never seen a Black leader care this much about us, right? Because a lot of times, we make it and we become wealthy Black leaders and we forget what it's like to not have, or we forget to pour into those people. But I see so many agents with my same grit and hustle. They just didn't have the structure. My grandma, mm-hmm. she's a working class millionaire, you know, and so she taught me how to save a penny and shop on clearance until I have it. You know, I was a top 5% realtor, but was still working my full time job. You know, and I wanted to make sure I had six months worth of reserves until I quit. So just creating that mindset shift for our community to let them mm-hmm. know how we should be portraying ourselves and how we deserve to look and how the world deserves to see us. I grew mm-hmm. up with the Julias and the Bowles. Everybody doesn't have that experience. And I didn't realize that. And so my number one mission for this office was to close the wealth and inequality gap in Atlanta. Atlanta has one of the largest wealth and inequality gaps. We're literally split by a highway called 285. And that's a big circle. North of 285, your average price point is anywhere of 650 and higher. South of 285, your average price point is typically around 400 and lower. And so in the further south, sometimes the lower it gets within that 285 radius bubble. And so I was like, how can we change that south side of 285 to where it increases in property value? And we learn to become better agents. We become students of market stats. Like, that was a big thing in Atlanta. People were like, we don't need market stats. I'm like, you definitely need market stats. You need to understand why it's important and how to help your people grow. So my number one mission was to close the wealth and inequality gap.
How do you get people to come on board with that? How do you cast a vision in a way that other people see what you're doing? They want to join your mission and it inspires them. And they're like, you know what? I love what she's doing. I want to be a part of that.
I invite people on my journey on social media. And so it was so crazy last night. Me and Meryl went out and I mean, people just come up to me as I'm walking. And I think it's important to include people on our journey. So I love that we have VAs and all of these things to help us with social media. We were talking about this earlier, Julia, but I think mm-hmm. it's some type of presence that needs to be had from your personal self. So for example, I was pregnant and launched my market center. I let people see that whole process of me being pregnant online. And it may not have been me recording. It might have been a videographer recording, but I let them see the process of me growing. And the market center launched as I was having my baby. And it was like a full circle moment. I was having two babies at the same time. I was going through labor with two babies at the same time. And when you allow people to get on that journey with you, especially through social media, the average American spends 2 hours and 31 minutes on social media per day.
Wow.
That is the best place to tell your journey. And people want realness. They don't want perfection on social media. And so people ask me, it's crazy how many people come and say, you just seem so realistic. Like, in the morning, I have my kids. My son is in private school. I'm from the hood. I'm trying to bridge the gap, right? My son goes to a wealthy Christian private school. My high school was not, you know, in the wealthiest of wealthy area, but I got to see prominent Black people, right? And my son, you know, people just laugh because he's trying to figure out, like, how do I connect with my mom and my school at the same time? So it's such a unique, but how have you let people see your journey as you go and be honest and transparent about your journey and show people you're human. Like all of us are human and put on our pants the same way every day.
So what does it really mean to have a people first, social media driven approach to something? Like, what do those things mean to you, and how do you operationalize that?
So let's talk about operationalizing it from an operator standpoint. From an operator standpoint, when you're thinking about social media, there are a lot of different avenues you need to think. The first thing is, what is the CRM tool? So we use a Cognito form to connect to our CRM currently. And I was just talking because I need a better one to connect directly to social media. But as we're running our ad campaigns, they directly connect to our Cognito form. And at Keller Williams, I know this is for everybody, but at Keller Williams, some of us have agent service coordinators. As soon as somebody fills out that Cognito form, which is basically 5 questions, it's a first name, a last name, email address, are you licensed, and what brokerage are you currently with? As soon as somebody fills that form out, it goes directly to our agent service coordinator. Our agent service coordinator has to respond to that within 24 business hours. When they respond, they put them directly on the team leader's calendar. Our team leader has a funnel of about 200 agents consistently. Right now, I'm currently running 3 ad campaigns. We run ad campaigns for all of our classes. We also unkellerize a lot of our classes as well. Mm-hmm. The reason being is, like, for example, I had Ray running a video and he would say MREA. To us at Keller Williams, that's duh. Everybody knows what MREA. When I was at a competitor, nobody knows what that means. So when you're talking, and that's the language of sales, right? When you're talking, being mindful of how can I connect with the broadest audience? Because our number one goal on social media is to recruit, because we feel like we have the best product in Atlanta. And so also, I think people don't have a vision for their social media. A lot of my boomers, I love them, they think social media is a toy and for kids. And I'm like, well, agents 25 to 45 are the ones who are moving brokerages, and they spend most of their time on social media.
Right.
And so what's going to happen is you're going to have a millennial like me take your audience, not intentionally, but because I'm interacting with them on social media and you think it's a toy for kids. So Gary Keller just released in the shoe, the 25 to 45 year olds are the people who are moving, and the brokerages that can figure out how to capture their attention are going to be the ones who win.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're doing our GPSs for the year, we create a social media strategy as well. So right now, our word for the year is community. Okay. And why is that the word for the year? Right now, people are lonely. They need training. You have a lot of virtual places. People want to feel, hug, touch again. They want to see people and, you know, understand how they feel in person. So all of our messaging is around community. And if you go down our Instagram page for KW West Atlanta or mine, Gabby Maddox Davis, you will see it will look like a community. You would be amazed.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
Talk to me a little bit. It's something you said, and I've always been fascinated by this. Talk to me about authenticity in social media. So you talked about authenticity, and like, what is authenticity in a social platform? Because for someone who's super into this authenticity, goes on social media and sees this, you know, glossed over world that seems like super unreal to me. How does one both meet the expectations of that space and communicate authenticity.
So that's a great question, Bo. There's a two-sword on this. So the first thing is, agents recognize the way you market yourself in your brokerage online as the way you'll teach them how to market. So we want to be authentic, but we also want to understand that agents are watching us. And if they go to your brokerage's page, or if they go to your page, and you ain't posted in 2 years, they're going to probably, especially the 25 to 45, they're looking for the brokerages that have consistent engagement and authenticity. Now, when I say authenticity, my page looks completely different from the brokerage page as the brokerage leader. And you'll find that a lot. Our brand online for the brokerage, it is very brand cohesive. All the writing, the fonts, the colors, we have the specific red, we have the specific black, we have the handwriting. It is very cohesive because we recognize that agents believe that we can help them market their business well because we market our business well. The number one reason why agents leave brokerages is what? Marketing. So if my marketing is not doing really well on our actual brokerage page, agents are not going to want to join. My job is to make them connect with me as a leader. So if you go on my page, you will see my kids. You will see my family. I actually go against the algorithm. The current algorithm says, Gabby, if you want real estate clients, you should only be posting about real estate and we'll drive people there. What I want is for agents to be able to connect with a human being. And so I go against the algorithm. You're going to see me, my family. You're going to see a little bit of the brokerage. You're going to see the standard Ford model, family, recreation, occupation, you know, all the things. And that's because I want to be authentic in who I am. I don't care about a million polished pictures. You might see a selfie of me. I think it's more important to post and show people you're alive in there than to not post at all. So it's a double thing. You want to be authentic with yourself and your agent's presentation of you, but you want to be mindful of how your brokerage presents online. Like if it's just a VA consistently posting on your brokerage's account, your agents will stop interacting with it.
How do you move from the aspirational kind of voyeur piece of the connection of social media to like these deeper relationships in your business? Like, so how do you transition people being attracted to your brand, interested in your life, to, hey, I'm going to work here and I'm going to succeed on a day-to-day basis in a real life interaction?
I'm mindful and I'm authentic. So my brand is, I'm an inspirational leader. So every morning, if you go on my page or if you go on my story, you're going to see something that probably inspires you. It makes you want to build a connection with me. And I'm intentional about that because even if you never want to be an agent here, if I can inspire you in any kind of way to look at yourself, keep in mind, at the beginning, I said, I want Black people to see themselves the way I saw Black people growing up. Like, yeah, I saw some poor Black people, but I saw a lot of wealthy Black people in Atlanta that had a lot of money and just ran really good businesses. It was such a great community. And I want them to see themselves that way. And so from there, people naturally are attracted to me. And I am a salesperson at heart. Like, I don't care if it's real estate, a cell phone, whatever. I'm naturally a salesperson. So knowing how to convert those conversations into quality leads would be the next step. When communicating, and this is for all brokerage owners, when communicating with any millennial online, if you are using any type of form, it should not be a long form that asks more than 5 questions. They are scrolling up and down social media. So if you have a lead funnel through social media, don't have a long form. They're going to skip over it. They're going to probably start filling it out and exit out. So also you have ad spend campaigns. And now Instagram and Facebook are so good, they'll show you how many people click on your ad based on their ad spend campaign. I look at it like this. Last month, we spent $100 on ads. We brought in $60,000 in company dollar from ads. And we spent $100.
Can you send me these said ads? I need to start running these things.
Yeah, because I'll forward them to you. Yeah, I can. I teach a class on this as well to operating principals and team leaders, because as operators, we need to know how, even if we're not doing the job anymore, we need to know how to inspect what we expect. So I teach operators how to inspect, and I teach team leaders and DOFIs how to schedule, how to interact. And I think it's important for us as operators to interact, which you all do. So.
What I'm hearing you say, though, is that you actually have some infrastructure and systems around all of this works. So what kind of tools? Tell me what the tools or models look like. How does this look like to run a business at this scale?
Oh, so it's huge, but we also know it's our full funnel. So it's exactly what I said earlier. We're choosing our largest events that are usually hosted offsite. So everybody just hosted business planning clinic, right? Business planning clinic should have been run as an ad for every single franchise. to invite people from on all of our ads. We put all brokerages are welcome on every single ad. Mm-hmm. Because we want agents to know that you are welcome. And we typically don't do it at our franchise home. Like, we don't, because people don't want to feel like they're being recruited. People really want to come and get knowledge. Training is the number one thing in this current market that agents want. This is not the COVID market. They want to be trained. And I'm not trying to do an ad for Keller Williams. I'm sorry, but I believe it's the best training company in the world. Yeah. It is truly the best training company in the world. Everybody needs to be in business planning clinic. Let's invite people to business planning clinic from all over and make sure they know this is not just for people who want to join our brokerage. This is for everybody. Naturally, if they come in our environment, guess what? They're going to join. Mm-hmm. And because you had them fill out the funnel form on Instagram and Facebook prior to, you have their information. We also put up the funnel form as a call to action slide before any major event that we have. So the team leader knows to stop, because some team leaders, like my team leader, he had been a team leader for 6 years. He's like, this whole social media thing is crazy. And now he's like, oh, I love it. I love it, because he's not worn out making the phone calls. I mean, we brought in 40 agents last month.
Can we talk about this a little bit? Like, this is a world where real estate market is dropping. Legacy brands are sort of fighting for share, and here you are growing like wildflower. Why? Yeah. Why do you know why that is? And like, what do you think that is? And what is the key components of that? Like, what's the thing that's driving
you? We run a growth formula. And so I teach this to operators currently. It is called, and I have to call it the growth formula. It's really a social media formula, but I call it the growth formula. For one, our team leader is amazing. He knows how to close the back door. But I recognize that in our ecosystem, a lot of team leaders were burnt out. Going in broker metrics, making phone calls, it's burnt out. Here's what we do now. We have new systems and tools. We utilize Corded. I'm giving y'all the whole playbook.
When
we see people pop up as high risk, we follow them on social media. And guess what? We had a VA come from Maryland. He was like, why don't y'all just follow? We had an intern come from Maryland. He's a Morehouse student. He was like, why don't y'all start? I mean, the Gen Zers, they think differently. And instead of ignoring them, we got to listen. He's like, instead of making phone calls and sending emails, why don't you follow these people on social media? Because if you follow 100, at least 30 will follow you back. Mm-hmm. And you guys run a really good social media page, and that'll attract them to the brokerage. Wow, God, right. We started adding on even more agents from doing that. And I'm like, you know, they know what connects with the people. We sometimes don't know. And I'm like, am I getting older? Even with TikTok, y'all forgive me. I hope I don't mess up y'all show. But I was one of the people hoping it got canceled, because I was like, I don't want to learn another social media platform.
For real. Yes, that was
like,
me.
I don't. Yeah, I refuse. Yeah. And then one of our agents came up to us, another Gen Zer, and he said, hey, Gabby, I'm going around and recording open houses and posting them on my social media. What if I, for, you know, he gave me like $300 a month, send it out to all the agents once a week, and I teach them how to record voiceovers, and they can post the video with our logo on their TikToks. The agents in my office were like, you would have thought I had given them $1 million in Christmas gifts. They were like, oh my God, we love this, Gabby. And so it's little things as operators that we have to fine tune our brains on. The world just works completely different. But I go back to the strategy of my first leader at T-Mobile. The first one said, oh no, you know, no social media. He didn't necessarily say no social media, but he was like, be cautious with social media. You know how all of us coming from corporate America are, like, don't post yourself. Don't post your family.
Yeah.
Don't say God. Don't say
oh
this.
My gosh. We had a leader come into KW that was like, I don't do social media. And we were like,
yeah,
who hired you?
Then we get this next leader in who's like talking not only to the employees, but he's talking to the customers. Like, think about a leader saying, I'm so happy you worked with a Keller Williams agent on your transaction.
Sure.
That is leadership in action. So me as a leader, when I see my agents closing transactions, I'm writing under their posts, because I know they're tagged with their clients. You had the best agent in Atlanta help you. And I truly believe they're the best agent in Atlanta in my mind. And I'm making sure to reiterate, like, they have support. People are cheering for them and they have my support. And so I'm basically mimicking his model. Like, he went around, we have a store in our office. And so you will always see our agents with plenty of Keller Williams West Atlanta gear because we want them to celebrate the brand.
I also want to know, so you're obviously you're ramping up, you're building this big business. You've got this great momentum, right? Mm-hmm. You're recruiting people. I'm imagining not many people left. You probably don't have a huge retention.
We were number one for issue. Net agent growth as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So the brand is energizing. It's fresh. It's exciting. You're building community that everybody wants to be a part of. Tell me what the next level of this looks like. You've got the momentum. You're going. How do you continue to balance this scale that you're building? I get that you're retaining them, but what's the long-term strategy look like?
So the long-term strategy is creating, and I actually called Bo earlier this week, is creating multiple businesses for my agents to own along with me. Yeah. That is my long-term strategy. I want to grow well enough and have a large enough platform to when my agents are talented, I'm talented in sales. I'm a sales leader. That is what I do. And I told you no matter the funnel, but we have people who are talented teachers. Julia, you're a talented speaker. You know, what other business opportunities can I provide our agents so they can build big lives as well? So yeah. I envision myself having 10 to 15 ancillary businesses in partnership with our agents and them having the full access of however big we choose to be. And my goal is for us to reach 1,000 agents.
That's awesome. And I know you will reach 1,000 agents. It's just a matter of will it be 2 years or three? But yeah, for sure, I know that you will. I love that. So you have this message that people can buy into it literally. You have a vision where people can buy into it literally and build something bigger than themselves and build alongside you. You know, for a lot of people right now, and it's amazing, the reason I thought of you to come on again, because we've had you on before, was because we're in a certain period of time where people feel like, well, it's just the market. You know, yeah, we did not have a growth of 40 or net of 40 last month. We had a very different number, like on the other side of that zero. Mm-hmm. And then people are saying, well, you know, it's just the market. And then we had ALC Clinic and a lot of the other team leaders and operating principals raise their hand and say, yeah, we're struggling too. Don't worry, you're in good company. And people are accepting the fact that it's just a sign of the times, you know, and you seem to be bucking up against that. Yeah.
I hate it. I'm going to be honest with you. I have been bucking up against it. And because we have to be careful of our words. Before I started this market center, and Julia, you and Mike Ray were probably the reason we have this market center, if we're being quite honest. They said, don't start it because the market is shifting. You know, and Gabby, you know, the price point of your agents probably is going to be a little bit lower. Don't start this market center. Agents aren't joining brokerages. If I would have listened to that, we would not have this community of 400 agents, right? Because even as
why didn't you listen to that? Why did you hear them say that and choose not to listen to that?
My grandma, I grew up being told who I was. And so in my head, I feel like I can accomplish anything as long as I have passion and vision. And I'm on a mission to improve the wealth and inequality gap. I also realized there was nobody. There are practically no leaders who connect with millennials online in real estate. They're practically none. And so if I can just prove connection to millennials in an organic, authentic way, like I cannot do the photo shoots. I have two kids. I have a 1-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'm nervous because one might walk in right now. You know, like I can't. I want to be as authentic as possible and let people know like I'm human. And you are human as well, and we can work together. And when they come in, they have these expectations of saying, how can we help? That's probably the number one question I get from agents joining. They're like, we want to be a part of this.
I'm going to back up to what I said, because what you said, you kind of kept going over something incredibly powerful. I said, why didn't you listen to the naysayers? And you said, because I know who I am.
Let me mention something else that I talked about yesterday. I was on a panel. Julia, Corinne, and Ogla. Having a community of people to support you on your down days, I can't tell you how many times I've called Julia Lachey crying. I'm almost embarrassed. I can't tell you how many times she probably didn't call me crying too.
Right.
right. So, but I say that to say that community that you can be honest with. People, it doesn't have to be people who are in your four walls. A lot of people, I was seen as a competitor in Georgia, so I knew I could not. Most of the market centers in our areas are owned by the same people. So I was one of the first in my area. And so to be able to have a community of women where I could say, what do y'all think about this? And I don't have to worry about them judging me. I can really say, I mean, even 2 weeks ago, I didn't know how to handle something with Charlie Kirk. I said, hey, Julia, can you help me understand how I should handle this from a perspective? Having your friends that truly support you and support your vision and want the best for you and will tell you yes or no, and you respect their no just as much as you respect their yes, is so important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And I think everybody, when you're building something, needs to have that group of somebody, whoever your cheerleaders are or whoever your support group is. Everybody, no one succeeds alone, right? Yeah. We have to have the people who are going to help you get through that, because recently, you know, both of us are taking on something new, a new challenge. And I had one of the leaders in our organization say, well, you're probably going to fail. You only have a 30% chance of success. And I thought, well, that was encouraging, you know, never mind. I'm going to call my group chat, right? Jump in this group chat and be like, so do y'all think I should do this? Because they just, you know, and people that, you know, are going to support and cheer you on. But I love that you said, you know who you are, because as you know, this podcast, the tagline is to help people of color earn more, learn more, and build wealth. In many occasions, we've had a lot of high net worth individuals come on here, and on many occasions, they say how they struggled with their individuality or who they are in the spaces that they enter. And when their business took a turning point was when they accepted who they were for who they were and knew who they were and were proud of who they were. You remember Corey said it, Bo. He said, you know, he struggled with being light-skinned because he got blue eyes. And, you know, he wasn't white enough, but he wasn't black enough. But he didn't know where to fit. But the second he was like, you know what, I accept myself for who I am, they go skyrocketing. So I think that for a lot of people who struggle with who you show up as in these spaces, knowing who you are is like a foundation. Obviously, you've taken a launch pad and went straight up with it. But it's definitely
something. And we
something.
Can so, say that right now, but Julia, you know all I've been through, and it's easy to say it went straight up, but you know it's been very much you know.
But again, back to the uncertainty. People are saying the market is bad, I can't succeed, and here you are at 400 ages in 2 years. 40 ages joined your brokerage last month, not last year. Most people can't get 40 people to join in a year. You got them to join in a month. And so it's not necessarily the market. What you're saying is we should stop accepting that as the narrative.
Yeah.
And find a different conversation to have about growth.
I think the real conversation is a lot of operators no longer know how to connect with the new generation. And when told, they take it as a joke. Like the new generation will tell you, like, we're attracted to social media. And a lot of the operators will say, well, I don't do that. Or my VA takes care of all of that. That's something. And no, like, the way I was recruited away was directly through social media. And when I did guerrilla warfare, I went back and played it. The brokerage that I went to, they were running an ad on the story. They said, do you do more than 5 million or more in volume? I clicked the bubble. Next thing I know, it asked me for my email. We have a training class coming up. I enter my email to be a part of the virtual training class. It's for all agents. I ran their playbook right back on them. It's for all agents.
I'm about to do like, it right now.
I said, okay. Yeah. Next thing I know, I'm getting a call from their CEO. Obviously, they looked up my volume, probably looked up a little bit on my influence, and I'm getting a call from their CEO. And I'm like, this can't be him. Meets me at that office. I'm recruited away.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So I want to end, because we're at the end of our time, but I just want to, end by talking a little bit about legacy. Because, you know, it's a lot of it's fun to be the first, right? You were the first Black OP, the youngest Black, the first youngest, the first, you know, what
the, fastest,
the fastest,
the fastest,
all of that. What do you actually want when it's all said and done? What do you want the legacy of KWS Atlanta to be? What do you want your legacy to be?
That's a really good question, Julia. I want to have my legacy as the woman who chartered Black wealth in Atlanta. Like that, and it sounds so crazy because it's Atlanta. And I know how everyone looks at Atlanta. And that's how I grew up in Southwest Atlanta. But I'm in Atlanta now, which is the middle of the city. And I really get to see firsthand how people view Black people. And it has taught me I want to leave a legacy where wealth and Black people are, they coincide right with each other. And people look at us in a much better light than they look at us currently.
I guess just maybe we're going to run out of time here, but one of the thoughts that I've been thinking about just listening to you is, you know, you said, I wasn't deterred by everything around me because I knew who I am. Mm-hmm. But how do you bring such energy, such positivity, such focus to everything you do. What do you do on a daily basis? You talked a little bit about your network of friends and advisors who lift you up. What fills you that enables you to come every day to the world with such light and energy?
So first, I always talk about my grandma because she, growing up, I gave her a hard time. I thought she was strict. I thought she didn't like to spend money. And I just didn't understand. And about 3 months ago, she was having some health challenges. And because I'm a spoiled grandma's brat, I was selfish. And I was like, I don't want to know what it is. And she said, listen, I don't know how much time I have left. But every Wednesday, just like you went and grew that brokerage, I need you to go grow me a Bible study. Because everything I've taught you, I want to help lead the people that you're leading and teach them as well. And I don't want it to just be real estate centric. You lead way more than real estate people. You've worked at multiple companies. I want you to invite every single person. I don't want any ads. I don't want any paid vendors. I don't want to hear about Keller Williams. She said, I want to get the word to the people. My grandma has a doctorate in theology. She's trained many pastors in Atlanta. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And it's been so consistent and uplifting. And it also makes me happy because all of my business partners, all of my investors are on and we're aligned. Our mindset is shifting. Right now, we're talking about the power of the tongue and the power of I am and how I will not let any one of the rules before you come speak in my brokerage is you cannot say the market is bad because my agents don't know that because we don't say that in our brokerage.
Yeah. Yeah.
The market is good wherever we are.
That's right.
Okay. And so we don't say that. And she talks about the power of the tongue. And so that's how I was raised. My grandma told me, you are smart. You are brilliant. And I believe that. So you can say whatever you want about me. It's not going to faze me because I truly know who I am deep down. And that's how I was raised. And so I think just having somebody of character around me, of such good character, but also the people around me being surrounded by that character, it has just helped me grow exponentially. And I can appreciate it now that I'm a wife, a mother, and a business leader, similar to her.
I love that, Gabby. You know, there's a saying, Maya Angelou, and I think about it all the time, particularly when I'm speaking on large stages. She says, or entering into a room where I'm the only one, you know, and she says, mm-hmm. I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. You know,
whoa.
And she talks about the fact that you didn't come there by yourself. You brought your grandma with you. You didn't come there by yourself. You brought your, you know, and those things are so incredibly powerful in this journey. But Gabby, we are out of time. We'll have you back because you're obviously
phenomenal. And Bo, I'm sorry. I want to make sure I answer the rest of his question.
Oh,
so
every
morning, so every Wednesday is my grandma, but every morning I'm listening to Ed Milet, T.D. Jakes. I'm listening to somebody who will inspire me on my ride into work.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Gabby, you definitely inspired us today.
Yes. Yes.
Thank y'all.
For sure.
Thank you.
Listen, final words. What's the one thing you want to leave our listening audience with today before we get off?
Get on social media and connect with people. Connect with your CRM. Whatever audience that is, OP, clients, connect with your people. Please.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today on today's episode. Bo, thank you for being a great co-host as always. And friends, thank you for tuning in to another fabulous episode on the Color of Money podcast. We will catch y'all next week.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience. This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.